Hey, welcome back to Geek Show Help Desk. Back in the driver's seat.
It's nice to sit back and let Tony drive, and I can just be along for the ride.
Yeah,
you know?
It's great.
Just ask, are we there yet?
It's great when
we there
have
yet?
To drive, isn't it?
Are we there yet?
It's much more fun.
Are we there
Tony,
yet?
Did you have that anxiety of like when you're letting somebody else drive on a long road trip and you're just like, they're driving...
No.
They're driving slow. Come on,
it's like that anxiety goes away when you don't care if you make it or not. So it's just doesn't matter.
Wait, whoa. Are you telling us you don't care about the show?
Journey before destination, right?
That's right. Journey before destination and other things Brandon Sanderson related.
I hope we have emails about my hosting and how good a job I did. That's all I'm saying.
Wow, so vain.
You probably think this podcast's about you, don't you?
I mean,
what?
That was pretty good. I mean, No, we do have emails about someone hosting, but it's not you.
Aww.
Womp womp. All right, this is the Geek Show Help Desk, where we talk about tech gadgets and science-adjacent things that are interesting to us. If you feel like writing us an email, I'm just going to throw this out there at the beginning. geekshowhelpdesk@gmail.com. Now let's go ahead and introduce our panelists. Not hosting this week, it's Owen.
Hey, that's me. That's so me.
Owen knows his limits, and that's okay.
He might, his limits next week. We'll see.
Yeah, I got a cold thing still, so, you know.
It's going to be his excuse now.
I called in sick, but follow me here. That's where you're going to get the most of me. I mean, like, 90% of me is here.
There you go.
10% on the Geek Show Arcade.
You need to even those out a little bit.
I wish I could.
I'm even less, so don't even worry about it.
He's even less of whatever you decide to fill in the blank with. It's Lando.
Oh, I hate everything about this intro so much. Oh, it's Lando. I'm here. I'm happy. All is well. I'm excited, guys. It's going to be a good show. It's going to be a good show. I can feel it. I can feel it in my bones.
Not great.
Good
Didn't
show.
Say that. That was Jaren.
And Jaren. King Pessimist himself, Jaren. No, Lando might be King
Speaking
Pessimist.
Speaking of good, not great.
Somewhere around there.
There we go.
Hey, that. Owen, see, this is why you should be hosting this.
Dang
week,
it. I blew it. That's all I have.
I used it all up.
You got a George Costanza. Leave it a high note.
Yeah.
Hey, Jaren.
Hi. We have a host. His name is Tony.
Hey, back in the saddle. Check me out on Twitter at QuadTTony or on other Geek Show related podcasts. Let's see. Yeah, do we have an email?
We do.
Email.
Got an email from Von H. Subject line, Team Owen.
Wow.
Yeah.
He says,
have a team?
Von H. in Spokane, Washington, checking in. Just wanted to say I am firmly on Team Owen regarding Apple. I have to use an iPhone for work, and I have a Samsung as a personal phone. I cannot stand Apple products and services. If I wanted a phone with four-year-old features, in quotes, I'd dig out my old Android phones out of the drawer. Seriously.
Oh, man.
What are those Android users?
He's
blah,
coming in
blah,
hot
blah.
Today with his what? Android, his newer stuff.
Why is there some sort of physical slide switch to make the phone silent? Well, good news for you, Vaughn. The new ones don't have that. Didn't the very first Google phone have something like that, you know, from 14 years ago? That's kind of a weird hill to die on. Actually,
I wish it still had it. I want more physical buttons.
Yeah, I like the physical button to silence your phone. I guess it is the perfect device for my 8-year-old nieces and my 70-plus-year-old parents. Wow, he's ages too. Apple products are right at their level of technological understanding.
Sim, that's what I'm saying. That's why Apple's make it so much. They've got 2/3 of the population. There's only this middle band.
You know what?
Between 8 and 70 is 1/3.
Well,
no.
Let's up it to like 12. 12 and under and 60 and older.
I mean, I don't think you're entirely wrong there, Owen, because I know people, kids, teenagers, up to early 20s.
This feels so personal.
All they know is touchscreen devices and how to use those. You put them in front of a computer and they start
tapping on the screen.
An old person that didn't grow up with it. It's like, it's wild. The smart devices, prolificness.
Keep trying, you'll get there.
I don't think the word works, but anyway,
proliferates is the word you're looking for.
No,
proliferation.
That's proliferation.
There we go, Owen.
Yeah, another reason you should have been hosting.
Dang it.
I think it's ruined another generation now, further generations, on how computers actually work.
Like I asked my kid to push the start menu because I was walking through something over the phone. I was like, push your start button, your start menu. And he was like,
what now?
Who?
Yeah. So I let my kids use an old computer, old laptop that we never touch anymore. And that's pretty much their only device that they can use.
That's smart. They're going to have to learn how computers work, you know?
Yeah, real computer.
Or is how it to though? Work a computer.
Is it though?
Like, 100%.
Going forward, you don't need to use the old stuff. Like the start menu thing Owen was just talking about. That's not a thing anymore. Who cares if they know how to use that or not?
Everyone at work.
Start menu? Everyone that uses Windows?
Yeah, man.
The start menu is not there in Windows anymore. It's like a Windows button or something like that.
It's a start menu. It's
that's where unless you you're on a Mac, start
then you
doing.
Then you got to figure out that every app has its own stupid top bar on a Mac OS. So
I do hate that.
Yeah, that sucks. I love this. I hate that. Why would you like that? That makes no sense.
Yeah.
Why not custom? Why not? It's like the iPhone, right? My Mac becomes the machine I need it to be when depending on what I'm using and doing with it.
It completely ruins the continuity.
The top menu becoming the app. I think that made sense in like early versions of Mac OS, like in the 80s, when only you can have one app at a time.
Yeah, one app at a time.
But yeah, in today's world, I don't like it. Anyway, Vaughn continues, I prefer Android like a grown adult. I actually had some heart issues last year and needed to monitor my blood pressure, so I got a Samsung watch. Since the FDA didn't approve the watch to monitor blood pressure inside the U.S., I sideloaded a modded Samsung Health app that would allow me to use the blood pressure function. Well, I understand it's not as accurate as a medical device, but it was really close. Sideloading for the win. Anyway, looking forward to the next episode. I do love the way you can sideload on Android.
For sure.
It's just more hackable as a result.
It's one more tool in the tool belt. You know,
you can do things you literally cannot do on the Apple side of the fence, and that's because what I love Android for.
It's okay.
And the only reason they do that is because they believe they know what's safer or not.
I know what's best.
Oh, that's exactly why. Yeah, the walled garden. You know,
they want their piece of the pie, right? They don't want you to.
So for me, it's always been. I see both sides of the coin here, and at least for the last probably 6 years, 7 years for phones, I was always envious of the Apple hardware because it was always better than the Android stuff, and I still think it continually is superior to the Android hardware for the
most
part.
Like build quality or like actual spec?
Build quality, spec, minus RAM, it's better than Android in every
way. Like cameras and storage and everything has been better.
It's all, the SoC is always, the best thing Qualcomm puts out is always at least a generation behind what's in the
A1. Two to three generations behind.
Exactly. Yeah. But it, and I didn't feel any of that. So anyway, what I was saying was I liked the hardware, but I didn't like the software. And I still kind of think I fit into that camp.
Yeah.
I'm still not a huge fan of iOS, but the hardware is just unbeatable against anything Android has out there right now, in my opinion. And then when they did their ARM SoC stuff for the laptops, it happened again. I was like, oh man, I really want that hardware, even though I do not care for that software.
My smartphone journey, I've had all the major OSs that have come and gone over the years. I started with iPhone 3G. Well, actually, I had BlackBerry, then iPhone 3G. Went to Palm Pre. Don't get me started on Palm Pre.
We know.
Oh, the
blah,
best.
Blah, blah, blah. Worst OS ever.
Then went to Android, and then for a couple years, I loved Android for many reasons, but then I started getting company phones, and it's just been iOS ever since that.
Yeah, same.
You know, I gripe a lot about that walled garden and stuff and how Apple says they know what's safer and what's not. But if you go back to that, you know, basically 18 and below are using iPhones and 50 to 60 and above are using iPhones.
No, I mean, that's
like they need that. Maybe that's the statistics. Well,
I've seen plenty of older people using Android phones because they're cheap.
True. Yep. This is from experience with my mom. Like they have a worse experience on Android, and my in-laws, because they are less secure in that way. They tend to get. They tend to have more vectors for malware and stuff like that the iPhone just doesn't have. And so I gripe a lot about how they do that. But that's for me personally. I think I kind of agree with it just because their main use, like their two big areas are the front and the back of the age group there.
And maybe, and dumb people.
Well, before you interrupted my thought mid-thought, Owen, what I was going to say.
Sorry, what's your thought?
I've had my run around the block a few times with phone OSs, and to me, the advantage of iOS and the Apple ecosystem is like really with people you're with, like my family members.
That's a big factor.
It is like sharing images.
Yeah.
Full resolution images.
Yeah. And
that will get better, I know, with like RCS and stuff, but. And just having multiple Apple devices together, it's easier to
deal with. Yeah,
it is. It's nice.
They do.
I really love
better.
Android for its, and more so in the early years than the later years, like with different, versions of like, Cyanogen mod, you know?
Yeah.
That was really fun back then, and you could really just make it your own. And
that's true.
Not so much anymore, but
flexibility, and exactly, that's like Samsung, they're all trying to pull that flexibility down to keep you in their ecosystem,
but
I
still do love the ability to sideload. I just really have no need to sideload anymore.
Yeah,
like I did back in the day.
Yeah, I think I would be perfectly fine if I had to go back to Android. It wouldn't really bother me that much, but I prefer my iPhone at this point.
I don't know, so. I had a bad experience with Android for about 6 months, and I never want to go back. So
6 whole months, huh?
Yeah,
back when
I had a phone, my iPhone died, and I was not due for back when you had to do upgrades. Remember that?
Okay, so we're talking like an Android phone from 6 years ago.
I don't remember when it was. It was awful. The experience sucked. I hated everything about it. I never want to go back to Android again.
Well, what
I had a bad
did
experience.
Did you get a bad brand, a low budget?
I don't know
brand?
What it was. It's nonsense. Like, you can't update your phone when new updates come out. The carrier control's nonsense, and like, just it was slow.
I'd argue that
phone updates today are so much less important than phone updates from a decade ago.
For sure.
I mean, I still appreciate them and I still like them, but
updates in general are software updates are usually a good thing to do when they come out, right? I mean,
well, yes and no. Yes, and that it might have a new feature you want, but no, as if it's got bugs related that people haven't caught on to.
I'm thinking about security updates, right? Making sure your device or your software is more secure.
Well, they don't limit the security
vulnerabilities, Tony.
They don't limit the security updates anymore on Android.
Yeah.
It's only
I don't care.
Updates.
I still have bad experience. I never want to go back. In fact, this whole like trading phones with Owen thing.
Yeah, this is your idea.
It makes
man.
Me cringe. Yeah, you know, I'm doing it for the show. I'm doing it for the listeners. Doesn't mean I want to.
You sound pretty close-minded, Lang, or Lando.
Yeah.
Speaking of Lang, he's the next
email.
He's
got an email too. All right. Nice transition, I guess.
Lang says, "Hola, helpsters. It's been too long, and I've missed writing in. I have to say that the last 2 weeks and this week have all been." Unlike any other episode, I am concerned that if there was ever an episode hosted by James, that would have to be the series finale of Geek Show Tech Shows. Yeah. Anywho, I wanted to show off a gadget and shoot a question your way. I recently bought a split keyboard, see attached. It's a picture of a keyboard that's split down the middle. For my office, I was just trying to get more comfort with... My eyes just went blurry. Comfort with a 6'4" frame with arms as long as Jaren's luscious locks. To my delight, not only is it way more comfortable, my typing has drastically improved too. So the question, what gadgets have you been surprised with the most that you had a bit of skepticism about? Lang. P.S. I'm just going to give this episode an 8 out of 10 right now. Good job, Owen. Little does Lang know, Owen isn't hosting this episode.
Owen isn't hosting this one. So maybe next week it'll be an 8 out of 10.
Maybe I'll commit. Yeah, maybe I'll commit to next week.
All right, there it is. We have verbal commitment.
Put me in, coach.
Okay, we got a spot open in right field for you, Owen.
Okay, right field. Love that position. Favorite.
I got put in right field. I hated it when
I was
in baseball.
I was too small
to be in baseball.
I finally realized why I got put in right field after a while. It's because I sucked. So, yeah. I mean, I can't blame my coach, but
I was like,
you go.
I remember being like, hey, the ball never comes over here. This is awesome. That's what I remember.
So you'll be in the catcher's position next week, Owen. He runs the field.
Awesome.
What gadgets have you guys been surprised by the most that you were first skeptical about?
Bidet, 100%.
Bidet? Oh, yeah. Good one.
I thought Owen's review was overblown, and I was not prepared for how life-changing that gadget was.
No, Owen's review sucked me in right immediately. Like, as soon as Owen gave his review, I knew that would change my life.
I was like, I'm interested enough to buy it, but there's no way it's this good.
But it is. You,
it was. It is that good. Bidet is life changing.
It, yeah, that, it truly is.
I'm still skeptical.
What? Yeah. You don't have a bidet yet?
I do not. I'm apparently wiping my butt with paper like a pleb.
You, well, like you with still, sandpaper.
Commoner. You still have to you know, get you rid of the water and dry
as
off.
As Jaren
and stuff,
said, but... I think as Jaren said, he says, I'm not a heathen like Owen. I think that's what he said once upon a time. Because somebody asked, do you still use toilet paper? He's like, I'm not a heathen like Owen. With no evidence that I don't use toilet paper.
Jaren, actually.
Just said it. Anyway, it still hurts.
That doesn't sound like me.
That sounds,
oh, when, that sounds 1,000% like
literally,
like
go
you.
Look at the track,
transcripts.
Tony. Go look at the track. It'll sound exactly like the waveform of Jaren saying okay. Data. I'll tell you mine. Trackball mouse. I did not like the idea of it, but I got carpal tunnel and it was like really bad. So I switched to the trackball. It ruined me for gaming. Yeah. Like I can't, like it's really been hard to transition to a mouse at all for gaming. But it was one of those things where now I don't think I could even use a standard mouse. I mean, I still can, but I just don't enjoy it at all.
I had the same experience with it. I use a trackball for a while, but the trackpad for me, the Apple trackpad, because let's be honest, the Apple experience with the trackpad is about miles away better than Windows.
On a laptop that has a good trackpad, it's not as far ahead as it used to be by any stretch.
Windows trackpads have gotten pretty good.
It's gotten
way
better.
Can you do multiple
better.
Finger gestures and things?
Yeah,
like
of course.
Can?
Yeah, they've had that for years.
100%. So
I've been a Mac fanboy, Apple person.
Yeah, we know.
Maybe you should go to the other camp and so you know what you're talking about.
Oh, I have no desire.
That's a,
no desire
that's
at all.
Better idea.
Well, yeah. Maybe spoken gotta, like a true Apple fanboy.
Maybe you should switch to PC for 3 months.
Oh,
instead yeah.
Instead of us switching to phones, I'll switch to a MacBook Pro, and you can switch to a Windows PC.
That would be fun. For science.
For the show, Lando.
Where am I going to get a Windows computer from?
I got you.
We'll find one.
They're both oh, their batteries don't last very long, and they're heavy. I have no interest.
They also take screenshots of how much you want.
They're not any heavier. What
you
are you
obviously
talking about?
Haven't held a Windows laptop in 10 years.
The ones
years.
My employees have at the office are like a couple pounds heavier than mine for sure.
Because you buy crappy computers, that's why.
A 16-inch MacBook Pro is one of the heaviest laptops I've ever owned.
I don't have a 16-inch. I have the small one.
Well, there's part of your problem.
Got the
you got the inferior
the
version.
The 13-inch, whatever it is.
14 thing they do?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Smaller, lighter, better.
My answer is gaming PC. I was skeptical for years. Like, why is Tony spending this much money on a gaming PC?
Oh, Jaren.
Like, I have a console. I'm good. I don't care about frame rate. I think I told that to you once, Tony.
Yeah. Yep. You have no idea. You had no idea what you were missing.
Yeah. And then ever since then, it's been one.
I don't even know that version of myself. I don't know that version of myself anymore. Sometimes I look back at that guy that was like, man, I don't really need a gaming PC. Like it can't be that much better. Like, I don't know that person anymore.
It is.
That person, I'm sometimes like, oh, that guy.
And I grew up with a gaming PC, too. So, like,
that's why I never understood how you went away from it, because I never had a gaming PC growing up. And then I got into it in college. And Uncle Squinky definitely helped push me in that direction, because he's been building PCs back when you had to like toggle dip switches and stuff on the motherboard to
SCSI.
You don't have to do that
remember
anymore?
Remember SCSI?
Wow,
SCSI
long
drives
PC.
And stuff like that?
You don't have to do any of that now. It's like it's like putting together a simple 3D puzzle at this point. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I got into it in college, and yeah, it's just, you know, I still buy the consoles because I enjoy the exclusives and stuff, but that was what always boggled my mind. You had the awesome gaming PCs when we were growing up, and then you stopped doing gaming PC gaming, and I'm just like, what happened to this guy?
Yeah, growing up, like, I knew, like, I knew about resolution, I knew about what the different graphics options did, but
I didn't know any of that until I
didn't really know much about frame rate, though. And like I could tell when a game ran crappy, so I decreased the resolution. But like to me, it's just okay. It runs okay.
Well, and part of that too goes back to:
are you having a good time or a bad time, Jaren?
A part of the frame rate stuff goes back to around the PS3 era, Xbox 360 era, when things started being much more commonly 30 frames per second. Before that, the vast majority of games, you know, except for poor attempts at 3D. On Super Nintendo and the N64 for that matter, most games on that had terrible frame rate, but everything else was like a lot. There were a lot of 60 FPS games, especially on the GameCube and stuff like that. So it was not as clear of a as clear cut of a benefit to be PC gaming with the GameCube and the PS2 and stuff like that, and the Dreamcast.
Oh, the Dreamcast. Oh.
Oh, Tony, why did you
say
it?
Sega, Palm.
Here comes the Jaren game.
Why do all the best companies go belly up, huh? Why? Well, why?
They don't.
They died too young. They were too beautiful to live in this world.
Thanks for writing in, Lang. Let's see. Now we can get started on the stories. I got to get this out of the way real quick because it's been sitting on this desk for months and I just need to get it off my desk and into the garbage. These are a set of earbuds that are the absolute worst earbuds I've ever used in my life. They're called Ambi, A-M-B-I-E.
Don't Bo make some like this?
Bo's just released a set of similar, they clip onto your ear.
Like in between your cartilage.
In between your cartilage.
Like an earring, kind of.
Yeah. Like a clip-on earring or whatever they are. And
seems uncomfortable.
They just took on there like that and they produce sound. Terrible, terrible sound.
They barely produce sound, I would say.
So does it have a speaker? Is it using induction?
It's like... got a speaker, yeah. It's got a little speaker. I found these because my sister bought them and she paid like $30-35 or something. And if you go look for these online, if you get real, I don't know. I'm pretty sure these are real ones, but the real ones, their MSRP was like $150.
Oh, what?
Yeah, when they came out.
Wow. That makes me go, are you doing it wrong for $150?
Yeah, and then you know, I think they came out like 18 months ago or so. Now you can get them on deal websites for like $35.
They're not even
worth
that.
They're not even worth the $35. Oof. They are the absolute worst sounding earbuds I've ever used in my life. And I've used a lot of earbuds.
Yeah, you have.
Tony let me try them for an hour. For me personally, they were really hard to get onto my ear. Once they were on, they hurt my ear and I could barely hear anything and the sound was just horrendous. I used them for like 5 minutes. I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
Yep. No idea how the Bose ones are. They're getting pretty good reviews, but that's, you know, Bose.
They're Bose.
Wow. Just, yeah. Stay away from A-M-B-I-E, Ambi ear cuffs is what they're called. Ambi ear cuffs. They're absolute trash.
Better off using your phone speaker.
Seriously. You are better off, like, if you need a more isolated sound, just roll up a piece of paper and put your speaker at the end of the paper tube you just made and put the other end on your ear. It'll sound better.
So,
0 out of 5.
0 out of 5.
Straight
zero.
Up zero. Oh,
so bad we don't even use the traditional review system score here.
It's gone. Wow. Whatever. Okay. 0 out of whatever. Yeah. I was baffled at how bad these were. The end. All right. Next thing. Let's talk about some, you know, let's bring it back to Apple. Let's talk about some useful bits that have been scavenged from the Apple Car project that has been canceled.
Hey, that's me.
That's you.
You know, hey, one of the things they pulled from here, here's the cool thing. They put a lot of years into that project, right?
Like, yeah.
Wasn't like 10 years?
Too, I'm sure.
Reportedly, we don't really have any.
Yeah,
of course, data. We don't know.
But now the developers have been reassigned or let go, whatever they did. But there was a chip that was made for the Apple Car.
A chip?
Chip known as, the Apple Car was going to be called, project was known as Titan. But what they have now left over is a chip that's like, where'd they say it? Like 4 times the strength of an M2?
M2 Ultra.
M2 Ultra.
Four times an M2 Ultra.
That's a big one, if true.
So what do they use that for? Like, this is really just speculation,
probably
right?
Nothing.
Like, I mean, there's got to be, at 10 years of dev time, you know, allegedly, there's got to be some leftover tech there that, you know, that was like all sorts of goodies in there that they can now repurpose. So one of the things, though, is that this AI, the car was going to have an AI brain, basically, and it was going to run on this chip.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's really just speculation. They haven't said anything about it or whatever, but they did say that chip exists and we don't know what they're going to do with it. So just more speculation. What do you guys think?
I would venture to say that this chip would be way too power hungry for any sort of laptop.
Yeah.
The only thing it would maybe fit in is a Mac Pro.
Yeah,
Mac
like a Pro new Mac, the new Mac Pro
yeah.
for $20,000.
Yeah, exactly. For a ridiculous amount of money.
Can you imagine?
I would guess the reason why they needed such a big chip on a car is to do like AI driving, like self-driving cars.
Yeah, fully self-driving
they were shooting
stuff.
For. Yep. And it probably became infeasible of why they canceled it. Would be my speculation.
That's the only thing that they would need a chip like that for. But even then, that feels like overkill. Like you can't compare it to Tesla's full self-driving because it's bad.
It's so bad.
But all they're rocking is like a Ryzen processor.
I was going to say, what is Tesla using?
Tesla uses... they have a Ryzen processor, but they have a different thing to offload all the driving data onto. It's a GPU of some sort, I'm pretty sure.
Doing the AI stuff.
Oh. I'm pretty sure. I'll check.
No wonder it's running over people. Probably an AMD.
Hey-o. So, anyway, let's move on to the next story. And while Jaren is talking about this, I'm going to look into that because I'm really curious. Apple continues to completely screw with the devs for the EU market.
Out of nowhere, they just said, you can download apps from your website, devs. And while that sounds cool, it follows a model that computers have used ever since the internet was invented. And Apple, again, has seemed to figure that out pretty well on macOS. So I'm not sure why they're so freaked out with iOS. Anyway... they said that devs can't... Well, did you say, Lando? What did
I
you
said,
say?
I said it's the money.
Oh. Oh, I thought you were going to defend Apple. Okay.
No,
I,
not in this one. It's the money. All right. I mean, it's pretty obvious it's the money.
Yeah,
yeah. The App Store has made them a lot of money.
It just feels more like... I mean, it's definitely the money, but at this point, it feels just spiteful to
me. Yeah.
Well, this sounds like... What is it called? Something. There's a word. Compliance.
Malignant?
That's
malicious compliance.
Compliance.
Anyway, it's not
we got there.
Good news, really. Developers can distribute their apps on the web, but there are strict requirements for that. You had to have distributed 1 million copies of your app in Apple's App Store the previous year to even qualify for this.
Seems arbitrary.
That is just, it's like... Okay, you used our stuff already last year, and you made 1 million downloads. Do you want to go through the process of trying to stand it up yourself now on your own website?
Yeah.
Well, it's like you walk up and you're like, I'd like to be able to publish my premium app on my website, please. And I have you filled out the 1 million downloads request?
It feels like the mob. No. Like,
it's like the DMV is what it feels like.
You don't need our protection next year? Yeah. Well, let us show you how you don't need our protection next year.
Right. Yeah.
It's a nice app there. Really hate to see your downloads drop off.
Sure be a shame.
Sure be a shame if that downloads dropped off. Anyway, we'll let you host your little app. Yeah.
Yeah, and there was more drama with Epic. Is anyone else have the story? I don't think it's on there.
I put it in Arcade.
Oh, did you?
I think I did. Are you talking about Epic and
non-gaming?
I just lost my train of thought.
All right, stay tuned for Geek Show Arcade to talk about Epic and the ongoing drama with Apple.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I did. Did I put it in?
There's two Epic stories over there for you. From you.
Okay, yeah, I did. Okay,
cool.
Speaking of which, Apple has more plans for its. Wait, did I put this? Oh, they also walked back on some stuff in the EU as far as their third-party app store. Not walked back, but defined, feels like walking back, defined how they would know, not how they would know, I guess, but how they will enforce the only phones from the EU can sideload and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, nice. How are they going to do this?
Man, I took a long time to get there. So basically, if they notice that your Apple phone from the EU is outside of the EU for more than 30 days, they cut off your ability to sideload apps.
Not only sideload, but update said apps that are already on your phone.
Exactly. Boo.
It's same in reverse. You go to the EU for more than 30 days and you get the ability to?
They didn't say that. No. I highly doubt that.
Owen, come on.
Come on.
So the country or region of your Apple ID must be set to one of the countries in the EU.
And so then if you travel outside,
you'd have to change your Apple ID to be able to be qualified for that, and you have to be located within the EU.
Yeah, so that's they're doing it all basically off of your
IME changer app or something. That's what you need.
I don't think that matters if they can just pull the GPS information.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
You know.
So I hope anyone in the EU doesn't travel for more than 30 days, because if you do, sorry.
Yeah. So back to the article, or back to the thing we're talking about with Tesla. So back in 2019, they were actually using NVIDIA GPUs in their cars to do the fully self-driving stuff. And then in 2019, they switched over to their own in-house processors for the fully self-driving.
They were like, it's a T-Vidia.
Yeah, you know.
It's
But okay, so they use Ryzen for like the infotainment
stuff. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then they definitely do have a GPU of some sort in that setup as well, because that was one of the things Musk was bragging about, playing The Witcher 3 in your car.
Yeah.
Only if you get the most expensive cars, the Model S or the Model X. It's not in the Y or the 3.
Oh, okay. Well, there you
is that software bound, or is that some hardware change?
It's hardware.
Probably hardware.
They have beefier GPUs in the more expensive cars.
Yep.
I would love to find that and swap it out.
All right. Speaking of stupid rich people, let's talk about Bobby Kotick.
Who's that?
He was the Activision CEO up until the end of last year.
He was Chief Bro over at Activision.
Normally this would be an arcade article, but he's not in the video game business anymore.
He ain't going for that. Nope.
Now, rumor on the street is... and this was according to a report by the Wall Street Journal. He is talking about finding partners to try and purchase TikTok.
There's some pressure right there too, because TikTok's—they've been given the gauntlet's been thrown to get out of ByteDance.
It's on the verge of being thrown.
Yeah, exactly. It's they're like winding up to throw.
Yep.
But yeah, they're being told get out of ByteDance or get out of the U.S.
And if you know anything about Bobby Kotick, his best thing that he does is find something that works in whatever his business is and then just drive it into the ground.
Like over Elon Musk?
And over and over. Yeah, basically he took Activision and stripped away everything fun that it did and made it the Call of Duty house, because that's what made the most money. And so they were successful. You know, they made their investors happy, but they were also only putting out like 2 games a year, and one of them was Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And well, Call of Duty and Blizzard stuff. WoW.
Right. WoW.
Overwatch things.
WoW's
like that.
Always been there.
Yeah, exactly.
Cash cow. WoW's a cash cow.
Another cash cow. So, you know, what would he do with TikTok, you know? Buy it and then just like trying to please the shareholders.
Yeah. I don't know.
More TikTok shop, please.
I was excited when Elon Musk, and this is probably the only time I'll say this in recent history, but I was excited when Elon Musk was thinking about bringing back Vine, buying it.
See, I wish that's what he would have done instead of buying Twitter. Mm-hmm. Bring back Vine. It would have been awesome.
It would have completely
removed the 6-second limit, make it more like TikTok.
It would have been a U.S. TikTok company. It would have been some sort of challenge to that.
Elon's not that smart.
Sure. He doesn't think that's true.
Sure seems like
he's playing 4D chess while we're all playing 2D chess.
Yeah,
that's right. He's a 4D chess man.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. Freaking Elon.
All right. Moving along, we got, speaking of 3D things.
You got the transition.
3D
you found
Wi-Fi.
It. This was interesting. This caught my eye. You know, the headline is scientists say they can fix your internet connection with 3D Wi-Fi. I'm like, 3D Wi-Fi, what's that all about? That's not quite what you're thinking, but it's still pretty cool. So scientists at the University of Florida have developed a new type of 3D wireless chip that could significantly improve internet connectivity issues. So currently, we're using planar chips. They're essentially flat, like, so the processors inside the devices. And because they're flat on this plane, they have limitations. And the main one being for Wi-Fi, how many frequencies they can handle simultaneously, which causes network slowdowns and when lots of devices are connected. But the new 3D design stacks multiple processes on top of each other, like Jenga, right? Allowing each one to handle a different frequency. This could increase bandwidth and network capacity while taking up less physical space. The technology promises major benefits as more smart devices are added to networks and data usage increases. It may help enable technologies like smart cities that require massive wireless infrastructure. So nice. 3D. So it's not 3D Wi-Fi like you were thinking, like, you know, more Wi-Fi in physical space, because Wi-Fi is 3D, guys.
So
these are 3D chips.
Companies that make CPUs such as AMD, Intel, and Samsung and things like that, they have been pushing into the 3D chip market for, or the 3D chip design for a couple of years now. Same idea. They take the transistors, and instead of having just one layer of transistors, you can stack up the gates and things like that to create more transistors in the same footprint, in the same like footprint squared, and just make it taller so it's got more volume. Very interesting how they can apply that to this. I wonder how much of a difference.
Well, because if you think about it, the way Wi-Fi works right now, it works on one frequency, and you know, devices are really good at like frequency jumping and switching automatically,
so maybe
on
each,
interference and stuff.
Each
but...
layer could be its own frequency kind
right.
of thing.
Yep.
Have there been companies that have done that, like on 3D ASICs like that? Like that's a new, is that kind of an area for expansion? That's interesting, because ASICs like routers and things like this are typically very flat like that.
All the stuff that I've seen have been for like general purpose computing, you know, like CPUs and SoCs and things, not ASICs. So that would be specific to this.
Nice.
Cool. That'll be neat. I like faster Wi-Fi and better range, that's for sure.
Well, it's just, and it's so timely too. So we were talking about this last week. It's like, remember when we were talking about, you know, Wi-Fi was in infancy, you know, how slow it was back then and how fast we are now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it looks like we're just poised to go even faster, which is even more bonkers.
Love it.
I think the next big tick in this will be congestion. You know, like making routers that aren't known to each other also have that smart ability to switch chips around or switch their frequencies.
Yep.
So
this will help with congestion for sure.
All right. We have a PSA about you Roku fans.
Oh, yeah. So anybody else got a Roku here?
I have a Roku account, but I don't.
So if you have a Roku account, one of the things Roku requires when you set it up, at least if I remember correctly, you had to put some kind of payment option in. Even if you hooked it up to your PayPal or if you didn't put in, you had to hook up a payment account. So they have found that 15,000 Roku accounts are being sold on the dark web for about 50 cents a pop.
Dark web.
And because Roku required it when you created your account to put in a payment option.
What a dumb thing to do.
People are getting hit with those hacked accounts buying new hardware, because you can buy new Roku devices straight from their shop that way. And also subscribing to services, because you can also subscribe through them to Disney Plus and to Netflix through Roku. And using these other people and using these credit cards. So if you have a Roku account or you have any Roku device, which you probably have an account on, go change your password.
That's not good.
Roku is one of those companies that required that. Remember when Apple ID used to make you put in a credit card? Don't worry, awful. Nothing's ever going to be charged, but we just want this just in case.
Just in case.
Well, Roku didn't get the memo, so I went and checked on mine. I remember I hooked mine up to PayPal, because then PayPal has some other 2FA you have to use to make the payment when you do it, but still, I recommend not having a credit card saved in Roku anyway. Use a payment app like PayPal if you have it. But anyway, go change that because it's not good.
I'm looking right now. Let's see. Purchase history on my Roku account. No purchases in the past 6 months. I'm okay.
Same here with mine.
For now.
Yeah, you can log into your Roku account, go check that, and see if you've been...
Time to change
my password. Maybe you're signed up for something.
Yep. All right. Okay, let's talk about electric cars, because we already mentioned a little bit of that, but Rivian, we teased this last week. Rivian had their big unveiling of the R2, and it looks pretty rad. The R2 is going to be smaller than the R1S or the R1T, and it is a two-row SUV. So you got your front seats and your middle seats, and then you got you know, trunk space in the back. They're planning on it being roughly 300 some odd mile range. I think 320, depending on the package you get, can be anywhere from slightly under 300 to over 300. And it looks good. Like, it's a good looking car.
Indeed. It definitely like the look a lot.
Yeah, it keeps the Rivian vibe. You know, the front end, you look at it and you're like, that's a Rivian. You know, it just they have their style.
You still have that fancy flashlight in the door.
Yep, you still got your flashlight in the door. The starting price is $45K, which still feels pretty steep to me.
It's much, much cheaper than the last one, though, and this is a crossover.
Yes. Yeah, it is much cheaper than the R1S or the R1T. And within 24 hours.
Price, actually.
It's not bad. Don't get me wrong. It's not bad.
Especially since the average price of the car has gone up a ton. It's really not that bad, especially if you get a U.S. tax credit.
I was in the 48K range for my SUV. I mean, it's pretty comparable. I mean, it's smaller, sure.
I was going to say your SUV probably has three rows, though.
It does have three rows.
Yeah, so.
So this only has two. So, but still, I mean, that seems more affordable to me.
Once you apply the tax credit, it's probably not that bad either.
Yeah, you get both halves of the tax credit with Rivian. Mm-hmm. You get the full $7,500. And I don't know if they participate in the upfront rebate or if you have to claim it.
They're all upfront now.
Are they all upfront now? Yeah.
Could
so you,
be wrong.
You'd get that right off the top. So $38.50 or whatever.
Yeah. Which even is better, right?
Yeah. That should be the starting point for a lot of these cars, these smaller electric cars. Should be in the 30s or lower. And so when you get there with the tax credit, that's pretty cool.
It is, but this is cars make believe because it's not out until 2026. And hopefully they don't raise the price by then.
They definitely
I will bet you $5,000 they'll raise the price between now and then.
Well, parts, supplies are more expensive.
Yeah. The other thing to consider too is it shows that demand is not as flat as people have been saying it has been for electric cars recently. It might be more related to just they don't like what's out, or they don't want to support Elon, perhaps, with the Tesla stuff, because in 24 hours, Rivian had 68,000 reservations for the R2.
Holy cow.
At $100 a pop.
And it's still over a year from being out.
Yep. So
at least a year.
I mean, it's...
How's that compare to the Cybertruck's
debut it took, on that? So Ford...
That's really not comparable. It's a truck versus an SUV. Cybertruck is twice as much.
But
it's
just talking about like pre-sales like that.
And the Cybertruck was way bigger hyped for sure. But in perspective, the Ford's F-150 Lightning
hit
100,000 pre-orders in 3 weeks. And the Tesla Cybertruck hit 250,000 in less than a week. So, you know, take that for whatever it's worth. And also,
what was Rivian's number?
68,000. Also, this article is 4 days old, so I don't know what the current. You know, it's basically been a little over a week since it debuted. So, I'm assuming that numbers have continued to climb, but I don't know how high. Now, the next best thing about this R2. Debut was Rivian pulled a one more thing on
I love Rivian. When they do that.
Yeah, so they pulled a one more thing and announced the R3 and R3X. Those are going to be built out of their new factory in Georgia, but it's a smaller version of the R2, which again is a smaller version of the R1S.
Yeah.
They didn't give out too many details on that, but the R3X, that is like a specialty rally type.
It's almost I would say it almost qualifies as the a hot hatchback because it is a hatchback. It does come up like a hatchback in the back, and it's smaller than the R2 by I think like 6 or 8 inches on the length. I can't remember. MKBHD did a really cool video going through both the R2 and the R3. with the like CEO fellow of Rivian.
That's cool.
It was a really cool video.
So the R3X, it's kind of dune buggy-ish. Has a tri-motor design, and it's only a tri-motor design. So it feels like the R3 is going to be the cheaper model out of all of these that we announced today.
Yeah, the R3X isn't going to be super cheap because it's a performance vehicle. It's basically their performance, you know, package on there.
They did not announce a price or release date on the R3, so after 2026 by the sounds of it. But compelling cars announced by Rivian, I hope they last that long.
Yeah, that's the thing, is they're going through some financial issues right now. And
they laid off a bunch of people a couple months ago.
They halted construction on one of their plants for the time being. So, yeah, it's not awesome. But hopefully they can pull it out. Because I think they're really cool cars.
They pulled it out.
Hey. So I want to see them keep making cars. And
I understand.
It's a Seinfeld reference.
Oh.
He took it out. That's it for the Rivian stuff.
Do you know what it is, Lando?
Really neat stuff.
Maybe it's something we can talk about in between.
Penis.
Yeah, that was for the in-between, Jaren.
Okay, yep. Let's
see. The kind of stuff you put in the in-between.
Let's do a quick lightning round. Lando has something depressing to talk about.
This has been on the list for a number of weeks now, and it makes me sad. We found a new scientific study, you know, talking about the climate and how bad it sucks. But we're finding that within the next 10 years or sooner, the Arctic could experience ice-free summers due to global climate change.
Ice-free? Meaning
ice-free,
like,
summers.
Where
the sea ice coverage drops below 1 million square kilometers within the next decade. Of course, the exact timing depends on how quickly we reduce fossil fuel emissions, but let's be honest, we suck at that.
It's true.
So yeah, ice-free conditions may occur between May and January by the end of the century. While a low emission scenario could result in ice-free periods from August to October, an ice-free Arctic would transform the habitat and negatively impact wildlife like polar bears and seals that rely on sea ice. It would also make the coastal areas more vulnerable to erosion from stronger ocean waves without the sea ice to buffer.
So this is what you do. You gaslight yourself into thinking that climate change is good and that we'll be closer to the ocean for vacation.
It'll
as
be
a
warmer,
result of it.
Warmer in
land
the winter. Their little statement here on the potential fix is just, it's ridiculous. It says, if we can figure out how to take CO2 back out of the atmosphere in the future to reverse warming, sea ice will come back within a decade. not just stop putting as much greenhouse gas into the air, but let's figure out a way to take it out, you know? CO2 scrubbers, giant CO2 scrubbers. And it's like, why would
China's making some of those.
Why would you even propose that as a possible solution? We can't even agree on how to slow it down, let alone how to get rid of it.
Yeah, there has been trials of CO2 scrubbers. They like put it into bricks and then bury the bricks and
But they're
nothing large scale though.
Yeah, nothing large scale, and it's
nothing could actually help.
Exactly, it's just huge. The undertaking would be absolutely insanely massive. Let's see. Owen, lightning
round.
Yep.
This one's about this. I follow type or diabetes stuff pretty closely, glucose monitors, stuff like that.
Diabetes.
There's a new blood glucose monitor that's come out that's over the counter. So normally, like for my son, we have to buy these very expensive glucose monitors that stay on his arm for like 10 days. And then we also have to have the other thing to inject insulin from his pump. And this glucose monitor is one that's over the counter and kind of opens it up to the world. It's a great product. It doesn't compete with Dexcom, which is what we use and what I was just talking about. This is more for people who are not using insulin. They want to just monitor their blood sugar, or they're managing their blood sugar with oral injection or oral medications and you know, stuff like that, or people with insulin resistance, which is type 2 diabetes. Yeah. So it's not really for me and my son, but it's pretty cool that it's coming out now. You put this patch on your arm, and it's a little little sensor that I assume it has to inject, and then it basically
is it like a needle that you
so
keeps
it has
in place in your arm.
So it's got a sticker, and then there's a little
tiny needle with a sensor or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Or I mean, like the Dexcom one, you push the button and it shoots. It uses a needle to shoot a plastic cannula in the
a what?
Cannula. It's a little plastic tube.
Is like a that like a mosquito bite kind of thing?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. With the Dexcom, it shoots a little wire in that it keeps under the surface to monitor your blood sugar. This one is probably something like that. They didn't see how they didn't say how it was attached, what kind of device attaches it, but it does do you know, measurements and trends for every 15 minutes. So it's kind of cool if you're type 2 diabetes, or if you're pre-diabetic, you know, stuff like that, or if you're just really trying to manage your blood sugar and stuff. If you think something's going on, this little over the counter thing, you don't have to get a prescription anymore. You can
go buy
this.
It's very cool.
And you can play pickleball like the guy on this article.
Yeah, he's definitely having a blast playing pickleball. Stello Glucose Biosensor System.
Can't we harvest mosquitoes, take their little nose pricker thingies, and just use that? Because you can barely feel a mosquito bite, right?
Yeah.
Good idea. Great idea.
Yeah.
Awesome idea.
It's an idea.
Just file it next to CO2 scrubbers at a global scale. We'll get on it.
Yep.
All right, Jaron. Oh, you don't have any other articles. All right, Tony. New chip startup promises 100 times efficiency gains.
Bull crap.
Yeah, that's what I said when I saw this too. I saw this in Reuters or on Reuters. It's a new chip startup company called Efficient Computer, and it has raised $16 million in seed money from led by the Silicon Valley venture capitalist firm Eclipse to help fund.
Not getting their money back.
Help fund work on its low power chip.
Just like that.
Basically, they're saying they have a new way of designing. Microchips, you know, CPUs, etc., processors that change the way software is executed. And
oh, they're really going to lose their money then.
So
they're going down to the machine layer,
basically
the assembly language, you know.
It's called they call it Fabric, and
it's a Microsoft product.
It was developed by Efficient's founding team over 7 years at Carnegie Mellon University. It says this new architecture allows us to target software in a more efficient way. It's a more efficient way of executing programs. Basically, they're saying they're going to start off with these, what are they called? Like very low power chips. For putting in things like health devices, civil infrastructure monitoring, satellites, etc. And they're supposed to make it so that the computer can run for a long, long time without having to be recharged or replaced. I thought there was a spot in here that said what. Maybe they edited it out. Anyway, they're going to provide a set of tools as well to allow for software devs to easily optimize their code for these new types of processors.
Right.
So
they have enough money for about 60 people for a single year.
Yeah, exactly.
Do well with that.
Not a lot of runway there, but you know what? If it pushes forward even half or a quarter of their goal, that would be pretty rad. You know, 25 times more efficient, I'd take it. So there you go. All right, I think that about wraps it up for today. Before we go, though, big shout out to our awesome Patreon backers. If you donate $6 a month or more at patreon.com/helpdeskarcade, you get a shout out on the air, which Jaron has for us right now.
Big shout out and thank you to David Broshinsky, Connor Keesaw, and Wiffleball Tony. And we like to express our gratitude to Jason Eatman, Que Onda Carnal, Control the Future, Not the Now, Andy Bird, Be the 8-Year-Old, Tony, the home theater geek, Travis Johnson. Buy Geek Show Arcade Help Desk stickers at Pyman Graphics on Etsy. All proceeds go to Lee George Cade's medical bills. Jeremy, No Name No Color, Keslo, Eric Steinman, Eric Cruz, Onus Tech Cred -1, Matt Nelson, Harry Patch.
Should have hosted.
You should have hosted.
It comes and goes. It comes and goes.
Adam, Aaron Faulkner, Stuart Lloyd. History is there for you to learn from or repeat your choice. Ryan M. and Adam Hecht. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay. We'll see you in the next one, whether it's in Geek Show Arcade or next week. Until then, Owen, take us out.
Actually, Lando.
Oh.
Take us out.
Lando, take us out. I haven't hosted for 2 weeks. I'm rusty. Lando, take us out.
Next time you're trapped on a dinosaur.
Lando, take us out.
Take us out, Lando.
I'm trying, guys. Next time you're trapped on a dinosaur island, be sure to take your kids and they know, and that they know Unix to save the day. Be an end user.
Jurassic Park reference.
I thought you meant like the people who sing Unix.